Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me today, for the first time, I have Dr. Carol Peters-Tanksley on. And I think this will be a very interesting discussion. I am on her mailing list and also have listened to the odd broadcast that you've done. So welcome, Dr. Carol.
Oh, it is such a pleasure talking across the world to Down Under. Different day, different hemisphere. It's amazing what we can do with technology today, and thank you.
It surely is. And I reached out to you, said, because I have been reading your stuff for a while, and one article I just thought, yeah, I've got to ask you to cover, which was, there's a couple of articles, but one of them that really got my attention was you put out, it's called A Doctor's View on Health During the COVID-19 Pandemic. And I thought that'd be a great place to launch out to, because obviously we're all in some form of turmoil or other, and you know, this has changed everyone's lives.
Well, it has. I don't think there's a human being on this earth right now who is not affected by this pandemic in some way. And the other thing about what's going on right now is it impacts so many areas of our lives. Yes, we're worried about, you know, the physical repercussions, but then it impacts your concerns about your finances and your family, and of course the spiritual questions. It's just kind of all encompassing.
It certainly is. I should have been right now in Pennsylvania, you know, with a long planned trip. And of course, that's all canned and everything is locked down here. And in fact, we're, I think, on day 16 of lockdown here in New Zealand. So I certainly didn't get to make the trip I so looked forward to. So yeah, it definitely affects all of us in one way or another. There's a lot of fear around people, and we'll probably address that as well. But the one thing is, you know, how do people stay healthy and have their best chances if they did happen to get this virus? I'll let you explain anyway.
Sure. At least in this country, and you probably are in New Zealand as well, we keep hearing practice social distancing, wash your hands, and those are important. They're absolutely important. But your health during a time like this is much broader than just that. I think most of us can assume it's highly likely that we will be exposed, whether it's, you know, this week, whether we already have been, next month. People are saying this virus may come around again, so maybe in the future. How can you give your body the best chance of dealing with this and not getting seriously ill? One thing we know as doctors, and I am a physician, that's a big part of who I am and what I do, we understand a lot about how our body's immune system functions. And although this virus is particularly serious, it's easy to pass, and it in some people creates a very serious illness, the real basic principles of how your immune system responds when you come in contact with the virus, that's pretty standard. I find that one of the most amazing pieces of how God created us is our immune system. And we know a lot about what keeps our immune systems healthy. These are principles that don't only apply to the COVID-19 pandemic, but I think right now, when we're so aware of the dangerousness of this virus, we become even more perhaps open to paying attention to the things that keep our immune system healthy all the time.
Yes, so that sounds good. So maybe you could run down for us some of the ways to actually do that.
Absolutely. And I just want to start by saying these things will not keep you from getting COVID-19. However, these are principles to keep your immune system healthy, whether or not this is the virus. And if these things are in place in your lifestyle and you do come in contact with COVID-19, the likelihood that you will get seriously ill is much, much less. One of number one is keep your body moving. Our lifestyles in the developed world in the 21st century often get more and more sedentary. Now, I have two different computers in my home, and many of us have, you know, different screens, different, many of our jobs are sitting at a desk. That kind of way in which we spend our days is not optimal. Your body needs to move. We know, for example, that your immune system is energized by moderate physical activity. It's possible to overdo it. If you exercise so hard that you are physically exhausted and your muscles are sore and you're actually tearing down your body by the overexertion, that is going to be actually a negative impact on your immune system. But the healthy level of getting oxygen moving, getting blood flowing to your brain and your muscles and your heart makes such a difference. The emotional benefit is there as well. If you are moving, there's endorphins, and you've probably all heard of this, you know, the feel-good chemicals that your body produces when you are in aerobic activity really elevates your mood. And so that's a secondary benefit. But your immune system needs you to be physically active. And then there's a second very close correlation there, and that's outdoors. Fresh air and sunshine, those are like super boosters to the movement part of staying healthy. And I call this key number two. If you can, take a walk outside, get some activity outside in the fresh air with your body moving. That combination is exponentially more powerful than either one of those things themselves. When you are getting in the sunshine and there is fresh air and your body is moving, it's like your body is being washed clean. All those toxins, many of them you breathe out as well. You can sweat them out, plus the oxygen coming in. And a side benefit, sunshine kills viruses, including the COVID-19 virus. Sunshine is a very healthy place to be. Now, some places, at least here in the United States, people live so close together and the restrictions on movement are so tight that you really can't even get out and take a walk outside. So at least open the windows, open the curtains, let fresh air come through your home or apartment or wherever you're living, let the sunshine in and get physically active. Those are the first two principles and really will boost your physical well-being and your resilience to this virus or any other. Number three, stay hydrated. Your brain and your body, there's more water in you than any other substance. Water washes everything out. In our 21st century world, there are toxins that come into our body. Even if you are really careful what you take in, water washes them out. The byproducts of your body's metabolism, if they get built up too much, actually can, it's just like clogging up plumbing. You need to stay hydrated, and only water can do what water can do. All the other things that you drink, coffee, tea, milk, sodas, fruit juice, just aren't the same as water. Now, I happen to enjoy a couple cups of coffee in the morning, but I really don't count that as the hydration that I need throughout the day. Just drink water. And as a doctor, when I talk to patients about that, often I will hear them say, well, I don't like tap water, or I don't like the taste of water at all, or bottled water is too expensive. If you have bottled water, okay. But think of it this way. Bottled water, there's even the plastic question there. I know there have been some studies showing that bottled water may not be nearly as healthy as we think because of it being in plastic. But the most important thing is just drink water. Flavor it a little if you need to, but that hydration is so important and it just washes everything out.
That's excellent advice. I have to say I'm one of those people that does drink a lot of water. I actually like the taste of water, and I do filter my water actually, all of it, but it's something I've never had a problem with wanting to do is drink lots of water. So what about the nutrition?
Real important. And if there is a second most important one, I think this is it. Number one would be getting your body moving as far as importance. And the next most important would be healthy nutrition. When you are stressed, it's easy to go to junk food, snack food, and so on. This is the time when you are under stress that you need to pay even more attention to healthy nutrition. By that, I believe the most important principles are lessening the processed foods. Whatever falls from a tree or grows from the ground is as close to the way God created it in nature as you can get. That is healthier. The vitamins, the nutrients and minerals and so on in the proportions that God made them. Yes, we need protein also. It's possible to get adequate protein from a vegetarian diet. If you choose to eat meat, don't use the processed meat. Lunch meats, for example, I don't know if that's what you call it in New Zealand, but there's so much sodium and other chemicals in that. You want natural protein, again, as close to the natural way as possible. I believe that whole grains can be a good part of a healthy diet. Some people feel quite strongly that you need to stay away from gluten to have a healthy diet. For most people, whole grains can be absolutely healthy. And I make a big distinction between whole grains and processed grains. There's been some very interesting studies showing that refined flour, like bagels or croissants or baked desserts, those kinds of foods are directly related to shortening your lifespan. On the other hand, whole grains, whole wheat, steel cut oats, whole brown rice, whole grains of that kind, quinoa, very different impact on your body. If you measure the impact on blood sugar and other nutrients in your system and the inflammatory response in your system based on eating refined flour versus whole grains, totally different. Refined flour products react in your body just like sugar. So I think most of us by now understand that sugar can do real negative things to your body. It increases inflammation. Refined flour products do just the same. And when your blood sugar spikes like that with either sugar or refined flour, your white blood cells, a key part of your immune system, are sluggish. They are not able to respond as well just by taking in refined flour or sugar. Your immune system is depressed for a period of time. So again, the principles of healthy nutrition: vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and then simple protein. And your body and your brain will both thank you.
So can That's I just cool. Ask for people that don't like gluten or are gluten intolerant, what about buckwheat? Because that's not actually a grain, but it can be used as such, and it has no gluten in it. So that's one thing I was going to say. And the other thing is, what about fish?
If you are going to use animal products, I believe fish can be one of the best. Omega-3s in fish are very good for your brain and your cardiovascular system. The protein is simple. So if you are going to use fish, don't buy the battered, processed, frozen fish sticks. Get fresh fish or just a frozen fish fillet without all the batter and stuff on top of it, and bake it simply. Very, very healthy. And I'm sure down there in New Zealand, fish is a big part of the diet. And I believe that can be a very healthy part of the diet. In fact, the Mediterranean diet, which is one of the best studied as far as longevity and health, fish is a very significant part of the diet in a very healthy way. And then to your question about the gluten, absolutely there are grains that don't have gluten in them, and buckwheat being one, I believe brown rice is another one. So that would fall into the category of whole grains, the B vitamins, the fiber, healthy fiber, absolutely. So great parts of a healthy diet.
What about things like canned salmon and stuff like that? Is that okay?
If you're going to use canned products, whether it's salmon, other meats, or vegetables, I would read the labels carefully and especially pay attention to sodium and the other additives. If you cannot get fresh, then my second choice is frozen, because there tends to be the least additives to frozen fish or vegetables or whatever. And then canned would be third. It's not that canned is necessarily unhealthy, and be careful reading the labels.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I guess the canned stuff can be saved for the most emergency because it lasts a long time anyway. So use the fresh stuff first, and then go to the canned stuff if you have to. Those are really good points. I just want to, with that, say, what about people that are overweight or smokers, or even worse, both together, with battling things like this virus?
I have seen some data just in the last couple days that those who are overweight or obese are seeming to have a harder time with the with this virus, COVID-19 virus. They seem to be getting sicker, and they seem to be testing positive more frequently than those who are not. And on the smoking, we absolutely know that those who are smoking or vaping have a higher susceptibility to a severe case, to getting significantly sicker if they do come in contact with COVID-19. So those kinds of underlying health issues certainly make a difference. One thing I will just comment about on the overweight or obesity side of things. We know that the inflammatory state in your body, the increased inflammation chemicals in your body related to being overweight, impact your immune system. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're thin, you will never get this virus, or if you're overweight, you absolutely will and you'll get very sick. There's a lot of variation there. But we do know that being overweight lessens the health of your immune system, more susceptible to illness. And certainly that's a factor in the COVID-19. And I'm fascinated with the data I've seen just in the last couple of days verifying that in this pandemic.
That's interesting. That's very, very good points. And what about taking supplements?
This is kind of a hot topic. I remember getting a call just a few days ago from a young lady who worked in a vitamin shop, certain that she knew the prevention and the cure for COVID-19. If you did this and you took that, then you wouldn't get sick. And that was the answer. We have to be a little careful here. I have seen a lot of people selling supplements and promising big things without a lot of data behind it. And so I'm a bit cautious here. I'm probably a little bit more skeptical than some. One thing I can say is that vitamin C in this pandemic actually has some relatively solid scientific data behind it. If you can find vitamin C, I know in some places that's short supply because of this pandemic. If you can find it, 2,000 milligrams a day would be a level at which you would have benefit. certainly, if you can find it and take it, that's great. I also want to say that if you have access to citrus fruits, of course, high in vitamin C, that's an added benefit to that part of a healthy diet. As far as other kinds of supplements for your immune system, I don't really see great scientific data documenting other supplements to recommend in this light. Now, I will say something that I take. It's a product called Juice Plus. It's phytonutrient supplement, fruits and vegetables in a capsule. There's some evidence, not in this pandemic, but in general, that it lessens the likelihood of getting an infectious illness, such as, you know, the flu or cold or whatever. That's one of the things that I take. So I would say be cautious. If you're going to take a supplement, in this certain case, certainly vitamin C would be at the top of the list. But that does not replace a healthy diet. It should be a supplement, just that. It should supplement a healthy diet. Don't think of it as, yeah, I can take vitamin C and then I can eat junk food the rest of the time.
Yeah, that's a very good point. What about zinc? I've heard that some people are touting that as another angle of this.
I have been underwhelmed by the evidence for zinc in this pandemic. However, I must say that there is some evidence that that zinc does raise the resistance of your body to certain infections. And I know it's been talked about, if you start to feel a cold coming on, take zinc lozenges or a sore throat or whatever. I haven't been as impressed with zinc in this pandemic as I have been with what I've seen about vitamin C. So I certainly can't say don't take it. I would just want to be cautious in how much weight you put on that, but certainly not a negative.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. I mean, there are all these kind of things, and there's probiotics and so on that people mention, and then elderberry and all kinds of things. And then there's things like colloidal silver, which you either believe in it or you don't. You know, some people, I mean, for me, I know every time I get anything that feels like I'm coming on, I go straight for that. And it seems to always work. So I just make it myself. But, you know, obviously I'm not going to be here to tell people whether they should or shouldn't on that one. But, but I guess it's kind of, I guess, for want of a better word, a holistic approach to being healthy, isn't it?
It really is. And I will just say this about the supplements. I believe that it's not wrong to really investigate and take supplements that you feel are helpful. But don't do that with your first healthcare dollar. Yeah. If you have a certain amount of limited money to spend on improving your health, the first thing I would tell you to buy is a good pair of running shoes. And the second thing is make sure you are getting healthy vegetables and fruit and protein. Put your healthcare dollar there first. And then feel free to go to the vitamin C and the zinc and the elderberry and the colloidal silver. Certainly, I'm aware of people that put a lot of stock in there. And I can't sit here and tell you that they're never helpful. I would just want people to pay attention to the basics first and use supplements as just that. In addition, supplemental.
That sounds like excellent advice. Okay, now you've also listed adequate rest as another angle of this.
Your body needs rest to recover, especially when under stress. Emotional stress can tear down your body as well. Emotional stress raises the inflammatory substances in your bloodstream, and that tears down healthy cells. So you need at least as much rest when you're feeling emotionally stressed as you do when you're physically stressed. And that comes in two big categories. One is sleep. I find that I need at least seven hours sleep a night. And most nights I get that. And if you struggle with sleep. There's just a couple tactics that I want to suggest. If you are feeling anxious and stressed and your brain has a hard time slowing down when you're trying to go to sleep, imagine the things that you're worried about or stressed about as a physical substance. Imagine taking it out of your brain and holding it in your hand as a thing. So when you're getting ready to go to bed, imagine holding your worries in your hand and looking at them for a moment, examining them. And then imagine taking all those thoughts and worries and putting them in a box on the dresser or on the shelf or maybe on the counter in the bathroom, and imagine closing the lid on that box. Yes, those things you're worried about are still there, but you're not carrying them tonight. You're putting them in a place. You've examined them and you're putting them away for the night. And they'll still be there tomorrow if you need to come back and deal with something. And then claim some of God's promises about sleep. I love the one in Psalms that says, He gives His beloved rest. Claim those promises of sleep and make that a routine, at least most nights. A second category of rest that I believe is also important is the kind of weekly Sabbath rest that we were built for. Right back at creation, the Sabbath rest cycle was something that God created as part of creating us. Don't neglect that. And especially when there is so much stress, having that 24-hour period to regenerate, to breathe in, so to speak, for your whole system, your body, mind, and soul to take in, makes such a difference. Especially in this season, part of what I do is a 24-hour period where I do not turn on the news. I don't click on anything in social media that's negative. I just put all the stress and anxiety out of my mind. I don't take in anything like that. I also don't try and produce during that time. I do a lot of writing. I don't do any creative writing during that 24-hour period. That is a time to connect with God, with family, and with my own soul. And I do the kind of things that I believe Jesus did when he was on earth in that Sabbath. He helped people. He communed with his Father, connecting with other believers. So in this season, for many of us, that may be church online for whatever, but paying attention to connecting with God and others and your own soul. And that kind of refreshment, God designed us to need, I believe, on a weekly basis. So don't neglect that part of rest as well.
That's a really good point, and it's something I need to look at too, because I get sent so much stuff from people all the time. I have screeds that my long as my arm of Facebook messages from people and emails too, and people saying, you got to watch this video, or you got to read that article, and then it's sort of like if I respond to everyone, then it carries on, then they'll send me another one, and it's like it kind of gets overwhelming at times, or phone calls and texts and all that, and it's like I've come to the conclusion I probably need to have a day where I just, you know, don't, because otherwise it's 24/7 it feels like, and it just, you know, you end up in this tense state. So that whole having a day of rest, I think, to me, is something I've been thinking about a lot at the moment. So that's a very good point. What about your attitude?
Your attitude. So important. I have been amazed by some of the studies I have seen that document biological changes depending on the state of your mind. For example, we have been able to prove that 3 minutes of focusing on gratitude in the morning changes your biology for the rest of the day. We have been able to prove that bitterness and unforgiveness creates more higher cholesterol, lower blood flow to your coronary arteries and other major blood flow in your body. There are biological changes to the state of your mind. Now, when we are in the middle of something like this pandemic and there is true negative news that we need to pay attention to, this positive attitude does not mean ignoring the truth. It doesn't mean ignoring the facts. But it does mean choosing what you do with your attention. There's a statement that's not original with me, but I have made it so much my own that I can't even remember where I first got it, and that is, what gets your attention gets you. If you put all your attention on right now the negative news and the people that are dying and, you know, who's doing social distancing and how long is this going to last, and if all your attention goes there, your body is going to get more and more stressed, anxious, broken down, much more susceptible to illness. I think it's very wise to choose the times of day when you are going to pay attention to these facts. Depending on your particular situation, maybe that's in the morning and in the evening, or, you know, three times a day, or whatever it is. And then the rest of the time, don't turn on the news. Choose what you do with your mind the rest of the time. You do have that choice. And with that, pay attention to what you can be grateful for. Pay attention to helping others who are in need. There's not much that will lift your spirits more than helping somebody else who needs it. And then, of course, you know, time with God Himself. What better place to point your attention to? And one way that I have had to employ this in my own life is what I do first thing in the morning. I, for a long time, was tempted when I first got up in the morning to check my email and check social media. And in, like you, I would get, you know, messages and all kinds of things to pay attention to. And my mind could get distracted and get all tied up in those things. And I never really could focus on time with God. I have had to learn that before I check social media, before I turn on my computer or respond to any messages, the first thing I do, I have to get my mind right with God. And the time that I spend at the beginning of the day focused on God and His Word, I can't tell you how often that has made me so much more efficient in addressing the rest of the things that I do need to do. It's not that that time is wasted, even from a human perspective. It raises my focus. There are so often times when I am praying and spending time with God in the morning, something will come to my mind that just answers a question or a problem, or helps me address something that is needed that day. It just clarifies things. I believe that's God honoring us, putting Him first at the beginning of the day. And I think that is perhaps more important than anything else in keeping your attitude in a positive direction. The truth around you, the facts around you are true. Your feelings are true. Your fear may be true. But I want to encourage you to look for the rest of the truth. Your feelings are not the whole truth. The negative news around you is not the whole truth. Choose to look for the rest of the truth. And primarily, that means God's truth.
That's very, very good advice. Excellent advice. I know in America, I've noticed it's quite different from New Zealand, but a lot of people seem to have their television on with Fox News or CNN, depending on which one they like, on constantly all day. And that can't be good for a state of mind in many ways. And so perhaps people should look at how much of that they do. And you're starting with reading God's word and prayer is like, absolutely, I totally agree. That's the best way to start the day. Now, what about people that are struggling with fear and anxiety and panic?
That can happen anytime, but it certainly is a big factor when we're in the middle of this pandemic. In my opinion, the fear response is a much bigger factor in most people's well-being than the actual physical threat of the virus, as big as that is. So one of those factors we already mentioned, choosing what you pay attention to, managing your attention. If you do intentionally choose where your mind goes, it's going to be less tied up in all the negative news. Focus on what you can do, what you can control. Even in the most difficult circumstances, there are choices you do have. Like many in the world, I'm on lockdown. You're on lockdown. There are many things you can't do, but what can you do? In our English literature, there's some great examples of people who did amazing creative work under quarantine, under lockdown, in a pandemic. William Shakespeare in London was quarantined during a bubonic plague epidemic and wrote some of his most famous plays during that time. The point is, even under stressful circumstances, there are things you can do, and focus on that will really, really make a difference. And then I want to absolutely encourage you to keep a broader perspective. This is not the worst thing that's ever happened to humankind. It's bad. Some places it's worse than others. But you as a person have almost certainly been through tough things before. Your family has been through tough things before. The body of Christ has been through tough things before. The human race has. We'll get through this from a human perspective. And then from a heavenly perspective, this is just one episode. We know the end of the story. As believers in Jesus, we don't have to believe that this is either as good as it gets or as bad as it gets. We know this is an episode in Earth's history, but that in the big picture, the end of the story, Jesus wins. We don't have to just hope for that. That is absolutely certain. We can know without a doubt that the end is not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or more people dying from COVID-19. We know the end of the story is Jesus wins. Whatever happens today in my circumstances, I know that end of the story is coming. Jesus, when he was on earth, had to keep his eyes on the future. I love what it says in Hebrews 12:2. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had to keep his eyes on the future, the joy that was set before him. If Jesus had to keep his eyes on his future, we will need to do the same. And that perspective helps when you're in the middle of something that's tough, especially tough like this.
Yes. What are some other scriptures that you've found encouraging or that people may find useful if they're struggling with fear or anxiety and things?
Right before Jesus went to the cross, he spent time with his disciples, and we know the upper room, the Last Supper. And the Gospel of John records about three or four chapters of what's called the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus' last words to his disciples just before he went to the cross. And in that discourse, he talks about peace. He talks about a few other things too, but he talks about peace. Two of those scriptures that I especially love. One is John 16:33. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Jesus is going to die in just a few hours. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. he knew that his disciples would be left alone and they didn't understand what was happening. And he tells them, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. That's a supernatural kind of peace. Isaiah said, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. This is not a peace dependent on circumstances. This is a supernatural gift of peace from Jesus. And I just want to encourage everyone listening right now to intentionally choose to accept that peace. It doesn't mean you will never feel troubled or stressed or afraid, but keep coming back to choosing to accept that gift of peace. And there's a last scripture, and if I may, just another moment. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, where Paul is talking about the great distress that he had been in. And Paul says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Light, momentary, yes. All the trouble that we are experiencing now is light and momentary in comparison with the glory that is to come. That's not just something we wish for. It's something that we can know. We can know that we know for sure as that the sun will come up tomorrow, that this is light and momentary in comparison with the glory that we will experience.
And the thing is with Paul, he went through so much, and to come out with having that attitude and to have run his race and being prepared, you know, for that weight of glory at the end of his race, is amazing. If Paul can do it, there's really no reason why we can't as well, with God's help, obviously. That's very, very encouraging. Now, you actually have quite an extensive ministry in a lot of different ways. Maybe it'll be a good time that you could let people know where they can find you, what your website is, and a little bit more about what you do.
Thank you. Certainly would love to have you connect with us. The website is drcarolministries.com. That's drcarolministries.com. And especially knowing that so much fear is present in our world right now around this pandemic, when you come to our website, right there at the top of the front page, you will find a place to click and get a download that we call Your Prescription for Fear and Anxiety. I'm a doctor. I'm both a medical doctor and a doctor of ministry both, but Your Prescription, like you get a prescription for the doctor and it may say, take this pill once a day or take this pill twice a day. Well, this is a prescription, a 5-part prescription that you can take. And yes, it's take one daily, and it addresses the different areas of your life, your physical well-being, your mind and emotions, and your connection with God. And I just love, it's absolutely free. I'd love you to come to drcarolministries.com and just right there at the top banner, just click that little button there and you can get Your Prescription. And it's a free download.
That sounds great. So as we look to be closing up, have you got any final thoughts that you would like to get across to people that you think would be a good thing for them to hear at the end of this?
Whatever stress you're going through, just do the next thing. You've heard us talk about several elements to stay physically healthy and what to do with your mind and whatever. And this is not meant to be an added stress to you of a bunch of other things to do. This is an encouragement that you don't have to be powerless in the face of all these negative circumstances and the stress and fear that may try and and come on you. Remember, God never speaks through fear. That's the enemy's tactic. So if you are feeling fear, you can know that's not from God. And just create a pattern of bringing your mind back. Choose one of these scriptures, perhaps, that we spoke today. Yeah, John 14, 27, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Just choose something. And when you feel troubled, don't get angry at yourself. Just bring your mind back to that place of peace and just say something like, Jesus, I need your peace. Come right into the middle of this. I'm accepting your peace right now. And that can help you get through this, and you will.
And if people don't know Jesus personally, then now's the time to do it.
If there ever has been a time when eternity is important, it's now. And I'm just going to go ahead and take that as an invitation to invite people to do that. This is not a situation where you have to do certain things in order to get to heaven. Jesus said, come. Everyone who comes to me, I will accept. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Anyone who opens the door, I will come in. So it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about saying yes to Jesus. It's about saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm stuck. I can't do this myself. I need you. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came to earth and lived and died and rose again, and I want to be with you now and forever. If you just pray that, Jesus said he will accept you. And this is the time to do that, if you never have before. And if you say yes to Jesus in that way, you can know that you know that you know that that glorious future is yours with Jesus forever.
Yeah, that's good. And I guess saying yes to Jesus, for some people will go, well, you know, basically it doesn't mean you just carry on your life as it was before and you've, you know, taken a pill and that's it. Is it like the beginning of a journey? And when you're really serious with God, he'll take you on that journey. And, you know, we all need to be transformed. And that's what Jesus is in the business of doing, is actually transforming us.
He is. Absolutely. Jesus loves you just the way you are. There's nothing you can do that can make him love you any more or less. But he also loves you too much to let you stay the way you are. When you say yes to him, he sets about taking you on that journey so that you can be all he created you to be. And that is so true. Saying yes is the start. It's not the end. It's the beginning of that transformation. Jesus wants more for you than you could ever want for yourself. And saying yes is just the beginning of that journey.
True, yes. Well, I want to say a big thank you for a lot of great advice that you've given us today and for being on the A Minute to Midnight show, Dr. Carol.
Well, it is a pleasure. I have to confess that I wasn't aware of Minute to Midnight before you reached out to me, but now that I am and I've checked out your resources and some of your programs, I am just so pleased and want to say thank you to you. And it's been such a pleasure to have this conversation and to speak with your listeners and walking together in the life that God has available for us.
And that sounds great. And I'm sure we would love to have you back again.
I would be delighted. That would be great.
I think so too, because I've learned a lot and I'm sure the others that are listening will have as well. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I'm honored. And God bless each one of you.
And God bless you also. And folks, don't forget to visit minutetomidnight.com with midnight spelled M-I-D-N-I-T-E. And all of our shows can be found there, as well as articles, put a lot of articles out. and video and audio. And you can find the videos also on YouTube. Give it the thumbs up, please, and share it if you watch it on YouTube. And also you can have it as audio only on iTunes as well. And there are other few other places that are putting it up too, but those are the main ones. So aminutetomidnight.com, make sure you follow the website and subscribe to the blog there as well. A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. It's the only way I can keep this running. It's my full-time job, and I really appreciate it. When people do donate, thank you so much to the people that do help us. It's very much appreciated. The music that's used on the show is also music that I've written, played, and recorded. And if you want to download some free music, you can find some of that at our website as well. That's about it for this show. We'll hopefully, and God willing, be back in a few days' time with another episode. Until then, God bless and have a great and safe week.